Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Football Hour with Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen. Wrapping up the week that was with sound from the locker room, highlights from the game, and much more. And now, here's Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen.
Welcome into the Football Hour here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen with you after another blowout Niners loss, this time in Buffalo, 35-10 last night on Sunday Night Football. It was ugly, and the 49ers didn't just lose the game. They also lost their top two running backs. Both Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason are going on IR. It seems very likely that their seasons are both over. At the very least, McCaffrey's most likely. Jordan Mason maybe a slight chance he returns towards the end of the year, but both are on IR, which means they have to miss at least the next 4 weeks. And the Niners have check notes, only 5 games left this season. So the Niners lose a game, they're now 5-7. They lose their top two running backs, and now they continue the march towards the end of the regular season in an even more challenging spot than they were when the game ended last night. Kyle, it's good to be back with you here on the Football Hour once again today. A rough night, yes, last night, and a rough day today for the Niners with that injury news.
Yeah, is it good to be back?
It's good to share the airwaves with you, but the subject matter, decisively not good. Yeah.
Yeah, Dubs Nuggets tomorrow. I'm fired up.
There
Let's
we
talk
go.
About it. No.
NBA Cup.
No, the thing that stinks so bad about this season is you saw it coming in, starting in like week 3. And really, you kind of saw it coming during training camp when Brandon Ayuk isn't there and Trent Williams isn't there and Christian McCaffrey isn't practicing because his Achilles hurts too bad, or his calf, quote unquote. And then they're canceling joint practices with the Saints because yeah. They're too hurt to field a team for joint practices. And then McCaffrey scratched in week 1. And then they lose how they did in week 3 to the Rams. And this is like the 2020 season all over again. It was just a much slower burn. Like in the 2020 season, you'll remember they opened that year with a loss to the Cardinals at home, where on like a crucial fourth down, they're throwing to Trent Taylor because they don't have any other healthy receivers. And Richard Sherman had an Achilles issue, and Dee Ford was out from the jump, and then Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas and Jimmy Garoppolo all get hurt in week two. It was just kind of a mess from the jump, and he went, oh, well, all right, season's over. Like, what are you going to do? After like 3 or 4 weeks. And they were in the playoff hunt, but we knew what it was. We knew what the deal was. This year, it's been a much slower burn where up until really last week, we were like, all right, well, if they get this win, they're still in the hunt. They're still around. And they lose their next two games by a total score of 73-20. And then you go look at their IR list. We had a caller last night on Overtime who mentioned that the Lions have all these guys on IR. It's like, well, so do the 49ers. Now add Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason to Brandon Ayuk, Javon Hargrave, Dre Greenlaw. There's a longer list than that, but just those five guys alone
And it's the second stint for McCaffrey on IR.
Great point. So it's been a nightmare year, and Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason getting hurt is just like the exclamation point to what has been a disaster since July.
Yeah, and I last night on Overtime, you referenced our post-game show after every Niner game here at 95.7 The Game, I came out with the argument, like, I would be very, very hesitant to blame everything that has gone wrong this year on injuries, because clearly there's been so much other stuff, and by other stuff, I mean, like, just endless lack of attention to detail and stupid mistakes left and right and not learning from mistakes and seemingly not getting better from week to week. And like that is a major, major part of this season. And if that gets swept under the rug, the Niners are in trouble in the future. But there's no denying that as the season has gone on, it's gotten increasingly more difficult for the 49ers just to try to figure out how they can try to right the ship. Even if they were playing mistake-free football or close to mistake-free football, like, you are coming from a spot now, maybe not necessarily earlier in the year, but now the final five games of the season, you're going to be, you know, attacking opponents from a spot of, in a number of matchups, like a relative talent deficiency. Like, you're not, you're just simply not as good as some of these other teams based on who you have available to play. So this season has taken a little bit of a turn, and I think the news today that both McCaffrey and Jordan Mason are going to go on IR, that kind of like seals the deal for me in that regard. But I do think we all still need to be very careful in how we, maybe like not necessarily right now, but in the offseason, how we think back and look back to what went wrong. Because if we just say, well, it was doomed from the beginning because of injuries, we are letting like a whole host of people off the hook that do not deserve to be left off the hook.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it's one of those things, like, this isn't a black and white thing, right? It's not either the injuries were a problem or they weren't. It's like, they definitely were.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely correct. I don't think with the way the 49ers played this year, whether Christian McCaffrey was healthy or not, I don't think they were going in and winning in Buffalo. I don't think they were winning in Green Bay. They just weren't good enough this year. And that was kind of the thing last night, is we can talk injuries on defense, but last night, I thought Jair Brown wasn't very good. It's really clear their linebacking core has struggled, and you got Fred Warner, of course, playing through the injury, but everybody around Fred Warner really struggled. Their defensive line, sans Javon Hargrave, who's not a great run stopper to begin with, just hasn't been awesome. Jordan Elliott was a cheap free agent signing, and I know he was out last night, but Kevin Givens in his fourth or fifth year as an undrafted guy, he's fine. He's a rotational guy. Shouldn't be playing a ton of snaps. Evan Anderson, rookie undrafted guy, playing a ton of snaps. Malik Collins, good player, having a nice year. They got him for a 7th-round pick from the Texans. Yeah. It's not like this is a superstar stud defensive lineman. And then their rotating cast of defensive ends, like Leonard Floyd, not an effective player right now. Yeter Gross-Matos has not been, well, he's been banged up, but he's not been a super effective player. Like Sam Okwuanu has been pretty handily their second best edge rusher, and you make an argument that he shouldn't be in a rotation. So there's a fundamental issue with the 49ers roster right now, and some of their struggles this year are due to injury for sure. Like if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, yeah, maybe they'd probably beat the Rams. If he's healthy, They probably when Debo Samuel and George Kittle both also missed that Rams game.
Yeah.
You know, and you can point to the Cardinals game in week five and go, okay, well, if Christian McCaffrey's healthy now, all right, yeah, for sure, maybe. But you hit the nail on the head. The scope of their problem starts with a lack of depth, a lack of talent defensively, poor execution offensively, turnovers, penalties. There are so many things that have gone wrong that would have plagued them and kept them from winning a Super Bowl even if they were fully healthy.
So you here on the Football Hour have kind of been, you know, the glass half full guy at times, and I know there's been moments
which
it is stunning. I know there's been moments where, like, the night before on overtime, you're like, well, the season's over, like, let's wrap it up. And then by the time we talk generally on Mondays, days after Niner games here on the Football Hour from 6 to 7 on 95.7 The Game, you say, well, you know, I'm kind of talking myself into thinking, well, maybe they can beat the Packers. You know, maybe they could
be a sucker every time.
I mean, it did not end well for you there. So let me ask you this. I know last night you and myself and Sterling Bennett, the three of us on overtime, we all kind of in unison said, yeah, I feel like the season's over. Like, pack it up. Like, it might not be worth the effort to try to put a run together knowing what is ahead of you. Have you changed your mind, Kyle? Is this still over to you, or do you feel like, I mean, you got a winnable game against the Bears. You've got Thursday night football in the division.
The get-right game.
Yeah, the Rams that have historically been the team that you play your best football against in the regular season, and then if you do that,
all right, now we're
7-7, and if things fall right for you in the division elsewhere, you could be tied atop the division. Like, is that so far out of the realm of possibility to you, or do you feel like that's a legitimate option for the Niners?
It is an option for sure. It's not a legitimate one though. I think, depending on the odds, I might bet on them to beat the Bears and the Rams. That's a home game on a Thursday night against a division rival, and then the Bears have not been playing great lately. We'll see if they get the new coach bump with Thomas Brown as their new lead guy there. But there's a real chance they win those two games. But I don't. Then you got to go to Miami. You got to beat Detroit at home, and then you got to go to Arizona. Like, that's just, you got to win out and get help. Call me in week 18. If there's a chance they win in week 18, we can talk about it then. But my focus, honestly, right now is more toward the Cleveland Browns beating the Denver Broncos. Because that puts the Browns at 4-8, which makes the Niners just a game out of a top 10 pick in the 2025 NFL draft. And that's why this Bears game is a big one, because the Bears will also come in with a 4-8 record where the 49ers will leapfrog them in the draft if the Bears win. So that's where my mind is when you ask me, you know, hey, is there a chance to make a run? It's like, is it on the table, never say never type of thing? Sure. But I don't know about you. I'm not betting on it at all. In fact, I think the chances are likelier they get a top 10 pick than they figure out a way to make the playoffs.
So you think maybe what's better for the 49ers is maybe not necessarily actively rooting for them to lose, but, you know, losing football games might not be the worst thing, and getting a little help the other direction, having other teams win that are below you, maybe does a little bit more good for the 49ers than the prospect of trying to climb an extremely steep slope right now, 5-7, all your injuries.
And to be clear, like, the team is going to try.
No doubt.
The coaching staff and the players are going to try. For sure, and I think that's what they should do. But if you're a fan and you're kind of trying to find, like, okay, what does this look like moving forward? If they lose on Sunday, it's like, all right, it's not now. That's not, again, this isn't a black and white thing where it's win good, lose bad, or vice versa. If they lose their next, let's just say, what do they have, 5 left? Let's say they lose 4 out of those 5, and Brock Purdy is just abysmal and is just terrible. That's not great, because now maybe you have a quarterback problem. But if, hey, if he's playing pretty well and Isaac Arendo looks pretty good, but you know what, you just couldn't get a couple of stops, and Jake Moody missed a couple of field goals, and man, you know what, lost a bunch of close ones, I don't think that's the end of the world. But I know that there are people who already want Kyle Shanahan's job and losing four out of the final five, I think, would really solidify that. So I don't believe the 49ers are going to tank. But when it comes to long-term projection, them losing a few games down the stretch here may not be the end of the world.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I also, I think, like, stick with me here, because this okay. might be a little bit of a convoluted point, but I made the argument last week here on 95.7 The Game that maybe what ultimately might be, what might lead to the one thing the Niners need more than anything else is that the bottom kind of falling out on them this year, and maybe they lose four of the final five. One, it's what you're talking about with draft picks and all that. Two, I also think there is a tangible benefit to just not having a full, long, crazy physical season, and just get your guys that you're going to be relying on next year, for better or worse, get them through the season as healthy as can be, give them a long off season. All that is very valid, and I'm with anyone who feels that way. I also think there's like this elephant in the room for the 49ers, and it goes beyond like just Kyle Shanahan and his conservatism on third down calls, and it goes beyond how he deals with the play clock, and it goes behind the hiring of hiring of Nick Sorensen. I think there needs to overall be like a philosophical shift. And if the 49ers, Kyle, let's say they put together a little bit of a run, and say they get to 9-8 or 8-9, and if they make the playoffs or not, it ultimately doesn't really matter. But they finish in a respectable manner, and they finish in such a way where it kind of leaves Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and Niners decision makers thinking, well, you know what? I mean, what we're doing here, you know, if it wasn't for the injuries, it's kind of working. Like this is fine. Our philosophy was not the problem. It's everything else that happened that was the problem. That's what I'm fearful of. And if the 49ers just lose four of the last five, or God forbid they lose their last five and they end the season on an eight-game losing streak, there will have to be a come-to-Jesus moment in the offseason between all the decision-makers that say, all right, this wasn't just an injury thing. This was the league adjusting on us. A philosophical change has to happen. I'm talking about, unless you get crazy personnel change on the defensive line, you got to be more creative on defense. You can't just blitz four endlessly and expect it to work. You're going to have to be more aggressive on your offensive play calling, and we're going to need to see the Kyle Shanahan of like 4 years ago when he was breaking out creative play calls left and right, and he would leave you with your jaw on the floor like three different times a week. Like we have to see something change. And my fear, Kyle, is if they go 8-9, they go 9-8, maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't. They're going to brush off that call for change. But if they only win five games all season, they win six games all season, it will be much harder for them to deny that legitimate philosophical team-wide change needs to happen. And it goes into the draft as well. Like, start drafting D linemen and offensive linemen with every single one of your picks. Like, if you're going to draft a skill position player, why don't you play him? By the way, Ricky Pearsall barely even played last night. Like, there has to be a major, major, major shift, and I'm not sure there's enough pressure on the Niners to make that shift unless they just absolutely are terrible the rest of the season.
I'm glad you brought up you brought up two things I want to get to here, and just the Ricky Pearsall thing real quick, because Josh Dubow from the Associated Press tweeted this morning.
Uh-oh.
And my...
I know it's going to be a great crazy Josh, stat here.
That's great for Josh's brand that bring up a stat and it's an uh-oh. 49ers first-round rookie wide receiver Ricky Pearsall has run 63 pass routes the last three games. That's according to Pro Football Focus.
Okay.
He has no catches on three targets. So just to your point about, like, play your playmakers, that's kind of... But as far as that necessary change, I kind of think they're already there. Because Kyle Shanahan got stuffed in a locker a lot this year, particularly in the red zone, where his teams have in general been very good. And then I think you look around the league and you see the Rams struggling offensively a little bit, and you see the Packers at times struggling offensively a little bit, where what made the Shanahan scheme work so well, defenses are now adjusting. And this is what Kyle Shanahan has been really good at in his career. He's not been, hey, his offense has been top five scoring every year. No, there's down years. But he always figures out what the next adjustment is. What's the next, what, realizing what defenses are doing, how defenses are adapting, okay, and then getting one step ahead of them. That's what he's always been really good at. And I think one of the things that's going to catalyze that change, whether they lose their next five or four of their next five or however many games they win or lose down the stretch, I think that change is going to be catalyzed by the fact that Deebo Samuel is a shell of himself. And it's hurting the 49ers offense. Because I think so much of what the 49ers offense is built around was his gadgetry and that positionless football and the ability to line up Deebo in the backfield and just send defenses into a tailspin. Putting Deebo Samuel in motion was like, oh my God, chaos. And then here's George Kittle wide open down the seam for a 50-yard touchdown. Deebo Samuel doesn't strike that kind of fear in opponents anymore. Like, he's a kick returner now.
$30 million kick returner.
Yeah, man. Like, that's what I saw. I saw Shasky bring that up this morning. Like, that's kind of what he's been relegated to, and it sucks. But I think so much of what the 49ers offense was built around was that quote unquote positionless aspect of what Deebo Samuel brings. It's why Christian McCaffrey fits so well. It's why I think Jacob Cowing is appealing to them. I think it's part of the reason Ricky Pearsall is appealing to them. We saw him line up in the backfield last night. It's why Kyle Juszczyk is still around. It's why George Kittle is around. It's this quote unquote position, and to a different extent, Juwan Jennings, because of his ability to basically block like a tight end. There's just so many things that they can't do that I think their offense is foundationally built upon. When Deebo Samuel is whatever version of Deebo Samuel this is, whether it's late 20s Deebo or banged up Deebo, whatever this is, he's struggling. And I think that's part of the reason the 49ers haven't been able to dig out of this rut. So whatever is going on there, they're going to have to fix regardless of how the rest of the season goes, because their offense that foundationally goes, hey, just get the ball to Deebo and he'll make a play for us. And the defense, his gravity will warp a defense and we can play off of that. It's not there anymore. So what are you going to do next? And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan's really good at. And that's why I am confident in him going into next year, because I don't think there's a scenario where they can do what you're talking about, where they go, oh, well, hey, if we were healthy, it was fine. Like, nah, it's clearly not. Because even when they were for the most part healthy, they weren't good enough.
I mean, the offense has gotten worse since McCaffrey came back. And even before the last two games, like even if you're just focusing on the Buccaneers and the Seahawks games, which is when Trent was healthy, when Kittle played in both games, you had McCaffrey in both games, and maybe part of it is McCaffrey still getting back up to speed, and that is all legitimate, and I understand that. But the run game and the offense as a whole, worse in the first two games that McCaffrey played in, and the last two, but there's also a lot of other circumstances going on in Green Bay and Buffalo that made the offense tough for the Niners. But the offense got worse. So if Kyle Shanahan and the Niners can look at that and look at the scope of the whole season and say, yeah, nothing went wrong, or nothing went wrong enough to warrant major changes other than the injuries, then the Niners have much bigger problems, and next year will be rough as well, and then maybe something major changes beyond next year. But Kyle Shanahan's too smart to not see what's going on. So I
hope so.
I would like to think so, and I think he is. And I mean, I had the pleasure of filling in a couple of days last week on our afternoon show here on Willard and Dibbs while the guys were off, you know, for vacation for Thanksgiving.
Gallivanting about.
Exactly. And had the pleasure to talk to Greg Cosell, who, by the way, kind of stuck it to me about Deebo Samuel. I still disagree with Greg about that, but asked him a different question about general, like, philosophy change, and can you adjust mid-season? How much can you do? And he essentially said, like, it's really, really hard to make, like, sweeping changes mid-season, because this is something that you've been doing, not just for all of this year, like the Niners' general practice and their philosophy offensively. It's been something they've been doing for, like, 6 years now. Like, it's not just something like on the drop of the hat you can say, all right, let's trash all that stuff and let's go out and attack with a new playbook. And I'm not saying anyone was like expecting like a brand new playbook and brand new plays every single time out. But I do think we probably maybe underestimate how difficult it is to make a number of changes like that. But even simple things like the play you referenced earlier, the Ricky Pearsall in the shotgun and Isaac Urendo in the shotgun, it leads to an Isaac Urendo touchdown. Like, that's nothing fancy. The Niners have run that play before, maybe not with those guys, definitely not with those guys in the backfield, but it's just a new, creative, fun way, easy way to get one of your fastest, most explosive players the ball in space in a game where the defenders very clearly, you could see, have terrible footing, and you get a guy who's already moving quickly, the ball in his hands, like it's going to be hard to tackle him. So I think, one, it's we maybe underestimate how hard it is to make changes like that, but I also think we're not calling for something crazy. We're calling for simple, creative plays like that, calling for players like those two to be involved who haven't really been involved all season long.
Yeah, like that's that, and I think that's what we'll see the 49ers get back to next year. Easy layup throws. Where have those been all year?
Yeah.
Like they've not existed. The creative run plays, which is that was a throw, but is a backwards pass. It goes down as a run for Isaac Urendo. The creative run plays, the extended handoff type plays, that's what I think we need to see the 49ers get back to. I think defenses have adjusted to what they're doing. And how they change that in the offseason is going to determine whether they reopen a Super Bowl window or not.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it all works out. We got to also talk about the defense, and we got to hear from Kyle Shanahan, who said a couple of things earlier today that we certainly got to get to. That's coming up when we return here on the Football Hour. It's Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen with you. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. More Football Hour with Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, next here on 95.7 The Game.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Retirement fund. It's up to you. Go to unlock.com/radio right now to see if you qualify to unlock the value in your home. That's unlock.com/radio. Go to unlock.com/radio.
Neuropathy can be a dark place with constant pain and suffering. Symptoms can include numbness, pain, tingling in your hands, legs, and feet, or balance issues. If not treated, neuropathy could result in confinement to a walker, wheelchair, or worse. Has your doctor prescribed pain medications or even dangerous opioids and told you to just live with the pain? Drugs like gabapentin only mask the pain. They never fix the problem. SF Bay Wellness, a leader in neuropathy reversal, uses FDA-cleared, non-invasive, electric cell therapy to restore nerve function with no injections, no drugs, and no surgery. The treatments have a 95% success rate, and SF Bay Wellness has patients who drive miles for relief. Much of the treatment can be done at home. Call SF Bay Wellness at 844-94-NERVE for the $99 neuropathy evaluation and receive a personal treatment plan that is tailored to your needs. Call 844-946-3783. That's 844-946-3783. What are you waiting for?
Tune in to 95.7 The Game for Warriors Live, 60 minutes before tip-off every Warriors game throughout the season as we get you ready for the action. Presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. He's the best interview in the Bay Area.
I want us to be scrappy. I want us to be difficult to play against night in and night out. I want us to be able to play off of our defense.
And he joins Willard and Dibbs every week during the NBA season.
I would tell our fans that I think you're going to enjoy watching this team.
Steve Kerr is presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort. And the same is true for your hair. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code SECONDFREE by January 26th. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You hear that? That's the sound of another year counting down. Another year missing your revenue goal. Another year wondering why your marketing isn't more effective. Another year worried about next year. The clock is ticking, but you still have time. Time to contact the experts at Scale Marketing. Scale Marketing is a full-service marketing agency who is expert in lead generation and revenue growth. Our clients see an average of 20% growth in the first year alone, with sustained growth from there. From your traditional marketing to social media to paid search, we'll take a forensic approach, digging deep to find the root problems in your marketing strategy. Then we'll fix them fast. At Scale Marketing, we can't stop the clock, but we can change your company's future. Find out how you can make your marketing budget work harder and drive more revenue. Contact us at scalemarketing.com or call us at 833-SCALE-25. That's 833-SCALE-25.
Now back to the Football Hour with Mark Randy and Kyle Madsen on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Football Hour continues. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen with you as we continue to sort through the wreckage of the 49ers 35-10 loss in Buffalo last night to the Bills. It was a snow game, but one team had no problem putting up 35 points. The 49ers struggled to get to 10. They turned the ball over three times, did not force a turnover themselves. And Kyle, we spent a lot of time during the first half of the show talking about the 49ers offense. And rightly so. I mean, they put up 10 points. They did move the ball decently, but once they got across midfield, they struggled. But we got to talk about the defense a little bit here as well, because the defense largely has been pretty disappointing of late. There's been stretches where they've been the reason the Niners have been in football games, but lately it has been pretty bad. I mean, they're giving up
over 100 yards of rushing offense before half, and they're making that happen like every single week. And you're not going to win football games when that happens, especially when you consider the injuries that they have on the offensive side of the football. And I was a little... I don't know. I don't know if surprise is the right word, because at this point, what really can surprise you about this season? A little disappointed. That's probably the right word. The general defensive plan the last two games, and maybe this goes back to what we were just talking about in terms of how hard it is to like adjust and make major adjustments on the fly mid-season. But these last two games defensively, Kyle, and correct me if I'm wrong, or let me know if you feel differently. It felt like it called for something other than just the generic four-man rush. We'll drop seven back into coverage, and we'll hope things work out. And you saw maybe a couple more blitzes here and there, but it was just, all right, we'll bring Fred Warner every once in a while, and we'll rush five. And we hope that we get to the quarterback, but then Jordan Love or Josh Allen will just throw the quick out to their tight end or to Khalil Shakir or to whoever it was, and we'll gain 7 yards on third and four, and we'll move the chains. I was a little disappointed, and I was cautiously optimistic that we were going to see something new and see a change. Largely, we really didn't. And considering what the 49ers were up against the last two games, this just felt like empty the clip. Yeah, try something. Sure. to try to get the momentum on your side, to force a turnover, to get a sack and a strip sack, and you get the ball. And we didn't really see any of that. And that... a little disappointing, because the Niners had everything stacked against them, specifically last night, and you didn't really feel like there was any kind of change in the game plan from the rest of the season.
Yeah, I have so I have two things with this. One, I have a hard time separating what's coaching and what's personnel. Like, I do radio in Sacramento, and we talk a lot about this with the Sacramento Kings, who are not playing particularly well right now. And there's a lot of people who are blaming Mike Brown, the head coach, but it's also like, man, they have like four good players. And when you don't have enough good players, you're going to have a hard time winning games, regardless of what the coach is doing.
Yeah, and I think that's Keegan Murray to start making shots at some point, huh?
Buddy, you're telling me. But anyways, but no, it's like, I get people who are frustrated with Nick Sorensen. I do not blame anybody who is frustrated with Nick Sorensen. But at the same time, this is a defense that is built philosophically to be able to pressure the quarterback with four and have seven dropped into coverage. And that way you're maximizing the amount of players in coverage. You're making the quarterback throw the ball earlier than he wants. It makes life easier on your players in coverage. Like that's what they're built on. And they don't have the horses up front. Mm. They just don't. Leonard Floyd has not been good enough. Sam Okwuonu has not been good enough. Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Kevin Givens, pick a player. It just hasn't been good enough. And I think this goes back to what we were talking about with the offense. I don't think you can make those wholesale sweeping changes in a week of preparation. Because you're preparing for an opponent. You're not self-scouting during the year. You have X amount of hours to prepare for this week's opponent. And I just don't think the 49ers have that like Brian Flores, the Vikings defensive coordinator, has a just deep bag of blitzes, because that is what they are philosophically. Steve Spagnuolo, same deal. Like, philosophically, they are going to blitz you, and when they do with their corner or their safety or this linebacker or whatever it is, they have an answer for that in the back end. To just install new blitzes, you have to like change what your defensive rules are after coaching these rules all year up to this point. So I don't think they can necessarily just change who they are foundationally defensively. I think the last couple weeks have come down more to personnel and the players the 49ers have than coaching or schematics or anything like that. That's kind of been my takeaway anyway. Maybe I'm wrong, but I see a 49ers team that is built to affect quarterbacks with a defensive line, and they can't. And then when they rush the passer, they don't have enough players in the secondary or enough quality players in the second level in the linebacking core to allow those players to blitz. and your hands are just kind of tied as a defensive coordinator when, hey, you know what? There's 11 players on the field, and five of them should be starting.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's maybe not necessarily a failure of like adjustment or of preparation, but maybe it was a failure going back to the beginning of the season of one, potentially putting a roster together, and two, self-scouting before the season began and figuring out what plan and what philosophy and what scheme was going to work the best. And maybe this goes back to what we've been talking about a lot, general stubbornness and unwillingness to change and adjust. I mean, if you were to ask, if I were to ask you in the preseason, obviously we probably were expecting a little more from Floyd, and you hope that Javon Hargrave was going to be a little bit healthier and not miss the vast majority of the season, and that clearly would have helped. But, I mean, everyone who knows anything about this Niner team would have told you pass rushing and the D-line in general, not just the starters, but depth, that's a major, major question mark, and I'm not so sure the Niners have enough there to be on par with their defenses of the past. So maybe this is not necessarily a failure of what happened in preparation for Green Bay and what happened in preparation for Buffalo, but maybe it's a failure of... this team was not going to be good at that no matter who was healthy, yet they've still kind of tried to attack it the same way when they had DeForest Buckner and when they had Eric Armstead and when they had Nick Bosa when he was winning a Defensive Player of the Year. It's the same plan despite lacking talent at almost every single position of that group. So maybe this is more of a season-wide failure than a single game or a single week failure. And Kyle Shanahan was asked specifically about Nick Sorensen earlier today on his conference call. Here's what he had to say about the job that his first year DC has done.
Yeah, I'm very satisfied with Nick. I mean, I'm not at all satisfied with the results and how it's going right now. But, you know, some of the mistakes that we've made, I don't think what's happened here in these last 2 weeks, I don't think that's a schematic issue. It's a little bit more of a fundamental issue. And that also starts with me. That goes to all coaching. And it goes down to the players. It goes to everyone in this building. So, you know, the results here these last 2 weeks haven't changed my opinion on Nick.
Kind of sounds like what you're talking about, but he says it's more of a fundamental issue. What do you think he means by fundamental issue, Kyle?
Just picking a player. J.R. Brown. When you go fill a gap as a run stopper, you got to make a tackle. A 65-yard touchdown happens because the safety who's supposed to step in and fill that particular gap whiffs the tackle, never makes contact with the running back. Doesn't even slow him down. Like, that's a fundamental issue.
Yeah.
Right? You've got two players going to cover one guy on a key fourth down or a key third down. That's just a fundamental issue. That's a player not going to the correct spot. You have Renardo Green on that big fourth down to Khalil Shakir, where I think it was a fourth and two and he got 17 yards or whatever it was.
Wide open.
That happened because Khalil Shakir is running just a little shallow drag route, and Renardo Green way overcommits to like he was going to sit down there. And then when Shakir runs past him, he falls down because he doesn't have his footing. It's those kind of little things that they're starting two rookies in the secondary right now. They're starting a guy in Devondre Campbell who I think is a step slow to be doing the things they ask a will linebacker to do. And that's really been a problem all year. Like this is what I think Kyle Shanahan's talking about. And you mentioned the defensive line and like a season long issue. Like, I think that's right. I think they brought in Leonard Floyd thinking, hey, here's a 9.5 to 10 sack player. Brought in Yeter Gross Matos going, okay, hey, he can be that Charles Omenihu inside pass rush, outside run stopping type. Can rush from the edge in a pinch, but really like the versatility. Javon Hargrave will be back and better. I think they really liked Malik Collins in the scope of being surrounded by all those other players. You had Robert Beal in his second year. I think they were hoping for some kind of leap from him. He's really toolsy player. He's not very good. Drake Jackson was supposed to be a huge component of this, and he had a setback with his knee, quad, both. His leg injury and wound up missing. He was supposed to be back by training camp. He ends up missing the entire year. Like there's there was a team build problem for sure, but I think a lot of players have vastly underperformed what they were expecting them to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, they're okay. I get everything that you're saying, but when it comes to the players on the field, because you're no doubt right that there's just been a lack of attention to detail and mistakes made by individual players, mm-hmm. and everything you're talking about who's available is obviously a big part of this as well. Like, you don't expect, you know, Devondre Campbell to be as good as Dre Greenlaw. You don't expect a rookie Renardo Green to be as good as Mooney Ward was last year. You don't expect mm-hmm. any of that. Of course, and there's going to be natural drop-off considering who's available and who's playing major snaps. But simple, straightforward things like Jair Brown, how to fill a run lane, how to fill a gap, and how to make a tackle, and where to position yourself, and your footwork, and make sure you hold outside leverage, and don't give up the edge, like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that just a player not getting it? Is that a player that just simply doesn't have it and might not be a starter in this league? Or is that... Does that point to coaching? Because, I mean, I could argue that feels like it's a coaching thing. I mean, Jair Brown sure. seems like a smart guy. Like, feels like he should be able to do what he's being asked. And I'm not saying Nick Sorensen doesn't know what to do. Obviously, mm-hmm. he does. He doesn't get this job, even if he wasn't Kyle Shanahan's first, second, third choice, whatever the case is. If he doesn't know all the simple, straightforward stuff mm-hmm. about how to play football or how to play defense in the NFL. But a lot of the things that you're pointing out, which are 100% accurate, and we see it every single game, those seem like simple things that players on teams with poor coaching staffs make. And it just feels like this is a little bit more than just player X made a mistake and player Z didn't fill his lane. Like, this feels like it's happening team wide, and for me, I kind of point to the coaching staff for that.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I would like to see what the roster looks like next year and see if they continue having the same problems.
Yeah.
But to your point, maybe next year they do spend more time in the offseason being a little more flexible with what they're able to do defensively. Like, I'm not asking anybody on the Niners staff to be Bill Belichick, because we will probably never see another coach quite like him. But Bill Belichick on a weekly basis was just changing fundamentals of his defense based on personnel, based on the opponent personnel. Like, they were going to do whatever they had to do to make you play with your strong hand tied behind your back. And there are coaches who can do that. I don't think Nick Sorensen is one of them. But saying that Nick Sorensen is not Bill Belichick is not some slight to Nick Sorensen.
No doubt.
You know? That's just...
He's not the greatest defensive mind the NFL has ever seen.
Yeah. Okay, it's like that guy's not as good of a shooter as Steph, right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, he's just... It's not a slight. He's just, no one's at that level. So, no, I do think adaptability is something that they're going to have to work with, especially if, like... We've seen what this looks like when the defensive line isn't great, and the chances that they revamp the defensive line this offseason to the point that it's going to be 2019 levels are very, very slim.
Yeah.
So how do you adjust to that? That'll be really, really interesting to see. Does Kyle Shanahan go, nope, this is the defense. This is how I want it to be. It's going to be a 4-3 with not a lot of blitzing, and this, and we're going to go press man, and this is how it's going to be. Or does he look at the personnel and go, all right, well, we're going to have to change it this way because we don't have the horses to do what I want to do up front.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally fair. And then the other thing that I wanted us to react to that Kyle Shanahan said, it's a two-parter, because he first talked about this last night after the game and then was asked to follow up and expand on what he said earlier today on his conference call. So let's first hear what he said last night. It's Kyle Shanahan essentially talking about how this is not the same team as last year, the last couple of years. Not as good of a football team. Here is Kyle Shanahan on that post-game last night in Buffalo.
We're not as good of a team as those past teams. So that's kind of how I look at it. We're not the same team at all. Every team each year is different. But I'm not going to say that this team is the same as last year's team. We're just not fighting as hard. We've got a bunch of different guys out there. We've been trying to find our way since the beginning. Haven't quite found that yet. There's still a lot of season left, and we expect to play better. But I'm not going to say that our team doesn't have fight.
Okay, it's Kyle Shanahan first saying, we're not fighting as hard, but won't go as far as saying they don't have any fight. And then here's Kyle Shanahan earlier today when asked to elaborate on those comments last night. Here's what he said on his conference call.
The thing I got asked is, this team not have the same fight as last year's team? And, everything goes to the team the year before. And I was just trying to imply this isn't last year's team. And so I wanted a reason for why our record isn't as good as last year's. And when it's asked about fighting and stuff, that's, I don't see it all that way. I was making the point that this isn't last year's team. Last year's team was obviously a better team. I'm not saying just from the roster. I'm just saying from the beginning to end, the way we started out, the way we felt in training camp, throughout the whole year. We've been trying to build that with this team. We've had times where we felt that we were on the right path to it. And then we've had some setbacks. The other thing, it's always been one step forward, two steps back. And we really haven't grasped the full potential of this year's team. And that's why I don't like comparing it to last year's team or the year before.
It's interesting, Kyle, because I think a lot of that goes to what we're talking about with just who's available to you. And we're talking specifically about the defense. It also obviously fits for the offense. And then even who's out there on offense or on defense. I mean, Fred Warner's playing with a broken ankle. Like, that's obviously going to hinder his ability. So some of it is just, who do you have out there? And the guys that are out there, how close to their normal ability are there? But then it's also Kyle Shanahan getting into how it just never quite felt right, even from training camp. And you almost get the sense that the Niners, they probably would never publicly admit it, at least not while the season is going on. It would be easier next year, if you bounce back and you have a really good year next year, to look back at this year and say maybe something along the lines of, the season was kind of doomed to fail from the beginning. That it's almost kind of feels like what Shanahan's talking about. It never felt right, even from the beginning of training camp, because of everything that went on with McCaffrey's issues that we didn't know a ton about in the preseason, but that obviously were a thing. Obviously, McCaffrey's contract, Trent Williams' contract, Brandon Ayuk's contract, all of that. And now you're dealing with, in the middle of a season, terrible emotional and real human issues like Charvarius Ward losing a kid, a one-year-old child, and now Trent Williams and his wife losing both of their twins, one in the middle of the pregnancy and one was stillborn like last week. And our thoughts and prayers go out to both Mooney Ward and Trent Williams and both their families. I can't imagine what they're going through, but this feels like a season, Kyle. The more you hear Shanahan talk about it and say things like that, this just never felt right. It hasn't really ever felt right. This kind of feels like a season that was doomed to fail from the beginning.
Yeah, just on the Trent Williams and Mooney Ward stuff, hearing Kyle Shanahan respond to that, it's really, really clear why the players like him so much.
Do you want to hear it really quick?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Here's Shanahan specifically talking about Trent Williams, and you can hear him getting kind of caught up here.
He did a little bit of that last week. Something happened that last week, and he was there at the hospital with her, and got to meet him and say bye. And then he had to cremate him on Friday, so he's been dealing with that, and he's working through it. But we're all just trying to be here for him through it all.
And that's just one of the many things that he said about it. But I had the same reaction as you did, Kyle.
Yeah, he just there was one line, and I know we don't have time for it, but if you get a chance to go listen to it or read the response, he talks about football players as a family and spending so much time together and being there for those players as people and as friends and as family members. It really stood out to me, like, oh, this is why players love Kyle Shanahan. This is why Kyle Shanahan isn't going anywhere, because he sees these players as people and as humans and as friends. So, salute to him for handling a really difficult situation about as well as a football coach can. And then with the 49ers, just to get it back to football, I think that's right. Like we all said from the rip, like, hey, Ayuk being out, is that going to affect him? Trent Williams being out, is that going to affect him?
Yeah.
And then when you start talking about last year, you don't have Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel's the worst version of himself, no Dre Greenlaw out there, Jair Brown has not taken a leap, Malik Mustafa has been good, but is he, has he been as good as Tayshaun Gibson was last year, for example, or Talanoa Hufanga earlier in the year. Like, eh, maybe they've just regressed at several spots, including on the defensive line, which he spent so much time talking about. So not a shock that he thinks that this year's team is not as good as last year's, because last year's was arguably the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, I mean, what you said about how he responded to, you know, the emotional issues that a number of his players are going through, I also... And, you know, obviously there's so many more important things than wins and losses on a football field. And that's the backdrop for all of this.
Yep.
But if there is one other, like, takeaway from how Kyle Shanahan has handled that stuff and how clearly the team as a whole has handled it, we spend all this time during the season, oh, another loss. Has Kyle Shanahan lost the locker room? Like, is the team finally turning on Kyle Shanahan? All that talk is just absolutely so ridiculous. And when you hear something like that, the answer that you're referring to there, when he talks about how, you know, you spend so much time with each other and you get to love these guys as humans, not just as football players and all that, like, it's pretty clear that this is a bond, Kyle, between coaches and between players and between the organization as a whole that can easily survive a down season. And the Niners are no doubt in the middle of that, but this is not something where, okay, the Niners go, they win seven games, they win six games all year, hell, they win five games all year, and suddenly you're going to have a group of players in that locker room that decide, yeah, Kyle Shanahan's not the head coach for me anymore. That seems well in the distance, and is not something that just one season can change.
Yeah, who knows what happens over the next couple of weeks, but I don't think it's anywhere close to that right now.
Yeah. I'm with you. All right, that's all we got time for today. Kyle, this has been the Football Hour on 95.7 The Game. It's been a pleasure, as always. We do not have overtime coming up this weekend because we got a conflict with Warriors basketball. So no overtime after Niners and Bears. But we'll be back next weekend for another edition of the Football Hour. Kyle, I'm looking forward to that.
Can't wait.
I'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Thanks, Mark.
All right, that's Kyle Madsen. My name is Mark Randy, signing off. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been the Football Hour right here on 95.7 The Game.